like you say, though, Adam, like everything's got a sauce.
And John, this is a secret shame, but I feel like it's something I need to bring to you. Something I've been noticing about myself. Mm-hmm. And I want to get your thoughts on what it might mean. I have been adding hot sauce to foods lately.
Yeah. That seems normal.
But I mean, isn't that worrisome a little bit? And specifically, let me just say it. I've been adding sriracha to things.
Right.
And as we all know, sriracha is the new bacon of the internet. but sriracha or a little bit of tapatio, but like I've started saucing things. So, I don't know. So, it's just weird, though. I mean, like chili, I add it to chili sometimes. Sure. I add it to other things. I still like, you know, I'll add a soy sauce to something. But I do find myself, and okay, and so the worst. So I've heard some people say, maybe it was Churchill who said this, but somebody said, you know, you can judge a person. He will judge a person by whether they salt their food before they've tasted it. Because that's a sign of poor character.
Sure, of course.
And I do find myself sometimes putting on sriracha before I've even tasted it.
Well, you are...
Is this worrisome? Should I worry?
The thing is that you, in me, you have found a man of solidarity because I, when sriracha is available, I just grab it and, matter of course, I just give it one huge squeeze.
Squirt the rooster.
Into whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that came about, I think, as a result of being trained in the art of eating pho. Mm. Pho? Pho? It was explained to me once by a Vietnamese lady that you should always, when you say the word pho, I don't mean this to be like fideri, but when you say the word pho, you should always say it like a question. You should always turn it up at the end.
Oh, hi. No, I'm just saying that if the lady says Thousand Island Dressing, I don't understand. I might stab her because I'm all fucked up and think there's something else going on. Why wouldn't you speak more clearly, Miss?
Lunch chili.
Is God, that a topic? I'm a huge fan.
Okay, see? I think I know you. Okay, so that's I'm going to put a check next to that as a potential
topic.
No,
wait a minute. Do you make your own chili? Because I know you make a lot of your own foods.
I think chili is a lot like barbecue for white people. I think it differs a lot from place to place, and people are very territorial about it, like sports teams. Mm-hmm. And sexual intercourse, they have different ideas. Do you use cinnamon? Is there mustard? Beans, no beans. I think chili.
I use cinnamon, mustard, and beans in sexual intercourse.
Okay. That's five shows right there. Okay. Hang on. So we could go right into chili, or you could hear some of my other ideas. And I literally want to just check these off just for future.
Oh, I see. Okay. So this is lightning round. All right. Let's go.
I don't know that. There's partly
we'll
sunny.
Go back to chili because that's now you've introduced the topic.
Okay.
I'm vibrating with excitement about the chili lunch I'm going
to
have.
I think we should circle back to chili.
Okay.
Okay.
No, myself.
I think I'd still want to keep chili special. I don't think I'd want, you know, I guess you could get pump chili. It's something it's a technology that's out there.
No, that's a different thing.
No, I think you should keep it nice. I think you should have some nice canned chili. That's easy enough to do.
And you wouldn't, chili's not a thing that you would, well, you put the cheese
on. I don't think of chili as a sauce. Chili is the special guest at dinner. You know, it's going to be good with anybody, but it is the center of the event for me.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, too, like if sometimes I make a hot dog and put chili on it,
mm-hmm.
but the focus is on the chili.
Mm-hmm.
The hot dog is just like, it's like a topping, except it's underneath.
Mm.
Right?
That's so true.
Right?
Ugh.
And so...
Can I get the cheeseburger medium rare with fries? And can I also please get, this is for a kid. So when you start it with, this is for a kid, that's mm-hmm. code. That means fucking right. Listen to this.
Right, right. This is for a kid.
You ask a question and you go.
Clean is there, food only, please.
Is there sauce on that? It's for a kid.
Right.
And they go, oh, I don't know, sauce. Or so you might as well be saying, is there shrimp on there? Because otherwise my child will die. That's how seriously you must take it. If I mm-hmm. have to walk home with something that has any sauce on it, I'm going to be coming back there and I'm not going to be happy. And then right. I'm going to be that guy a little bit. So I say, could I have the cheeseburger special? But I would like nothing on – I didn't say no cheese. I said I want nothing on the burger except burger on a bun. So please, no sauce, no cheese, no anything. Please, mm-hmm. please.
No
please.
Cheese, no sauce, no anything.
And so, of course, it immediately turns into a Monty Python routine. And she goes, so cheeseburger. I said, yes, I want the burger, but with no cheese. Like, and I'm, you can't see, but I'm making this horizontal gesture with my hand flat as right. if to say I will salt the land. This is scorched earth.
Right. It's no, moving nothing.
Out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm making a 90-degree horizontal swing to indicate flat fucking land.
Yes.
Dry.
Right.
Nothing. Bone.
Right. Right.
Barren.
Desert. I want cheeseburger on a desert.
That's right. And I want you to hold it between your knees. And she says, and so of course she responds, you know, with that amount of overconfidence that this particular waitress has, it always trying to remember my order and getting three things about it wrong. And she says, okay, so on the side. I said, here's the thing. I want you to take a plastic box and put some of those crinkle cut fries in there. And I want a burger with literally nothing on it but a piece of meat on a bun. So you can guess what goes on here. It comes out and it's fully dressed. It's got everything on it. Mm-hmm. And I say, and each time she said, like, your order's almost ready, I actually, because this place makes me crazy by getting, if they got my order wrong 7 out of 8 times, I'd stop going there. If they got my order wrong 1 out of 39 times, it wouldn't matter. Right, getting my order wrong 1 out of 7 times is crazy making.
Yeah.
It's just enough to make you feel fucking nuts. And so I said, oh, remember that for the kid, so nothing on it. You know, I'm doing
that.
And I'm being that guy you hate, but I'm going, And the corpse comes out fully dressed. It's got shit all over it.
Right.
And so, you know, you can fucking guess.
Did you throw it at her?
I said, you'll remember this.
Did you push her up against a wall?
I didn't say medium. I didn't say very rare. I said rare. No, no, no. They took it back. And you know exactly what that cocksucker in the back did.
No, now that's a myth. No, they're not spitting on your food.
No. I wouldn't know. I didn't check. Oh. I checked it carefully enough to see that he had scraped the cheese off, scraped the other stuff off, and he'd gotten a fresh bun. And that was the extent of it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I wouldn't.
And then I open it up because I always check my order there now. And I fucking hate myself for the last 35 minutes of what I've been saying. But now there's little bits of cheese on the fries.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to. Yeah, you know
there's
what?
Moisture, at that point, there's pooling.
At that point, you burn the restaurant down. At that point, you burn the restaurant down. You stand out in the street, take all your clothes off.
Do you have
off.
A gut sense of when it's really time to burn the restaurant down? Do you, you have know, a sense? That, you I mean, it's not purely emotional. Emotion plays a role in it. You're like Wolverine. It's brought you to where you are. But you must have some sense in your mind of when the line has been crossed and it is time to fix something.
Why did Mookie grab that trash can and throw it through the front window of Sal's Pizzeria?
He had enough.
You know what?
He just had enough.
It was time to burn it down. Yeah.
And we've talked before about the grill order. A grill order is, in coding, you call it like an exception. You go in and you say, you kind of on the sly, you say, look.
I want a plain hamburger.
I want to, in my case, I would go in and say, and the key to a grill at McDonald's, because I used to work there and I read the trades.
Yeah.
You go into McDonald's and you don't ask for extra something. You ask for not something. It has to be not something that's hard to remove. And I'll just tell you, as an insider, ketchup is hard to remove.
Huh.
You can scrape,
onions. I have personally found ketchup is hard to remove. I would when I was a kid, I would go into McDonald's and order a plain hamburger.
So, and here's the key, and I this is probably
I always
obvious.
Got a freshie.
In this, In this age of personalization and customization, this will probably seem obvious, but at McDonald's, you kind of screw up the McDonald's. If everybody came in and asked for it, as Burger King would say, to be made in their own way,
right?
You screw everything up. Because if you go to a McDonald's, I went to a McDonald's once at midnight in Chicago. And
that's three mistakes in a row.
Well, and I was there, and the members of Cult Jam showed up and were signing photos.
Wait, Lisa and Cult Jam?
Lisa was not in full force. It was just Cult Jam. Anyway, you go to a busy McDonald's. You know this. You go to a busy McDonald's any time of day, and it's going to be really, really good McDonald's. Not as good as when we were kids, but good. Mm. Now, the thing is...
And then, to my horror, to my everlasting horror, something I didn't realize about Eastern Europe until that moment, which is that they hand everybody a bowl of spaghetti, and then the bottle of ketchup goes around.
So it's noodles in a bowl.
It's spaghetti in a bowl, and then the sauce that they expect you to put on it is just ketchup. They must have seen it in the movies, and this is a popular dish in the East.
We must make this pasta red.
That's right. Put some red sauce on it. And what do we have? We have catsup. So anyway, so we're eating this disgusting, you know, spaghetti and ketchup, and the guitar is going around. And you know what? Clemenza had, you know, listen, if you're going to need to make sauce for a bunch of guys, what are you going to do? You add a little meatball.
Yeah.
You know, some tomatoes.
You don't want the stick.
you know, but just pay attention.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I struggle with it because I've gone back and forth with, you know, in my vocation and my personal stuff with struggling with what you're saying.
And I start to kind of poke at it. And I say, give me some plates, give me some trays, you know. And I start to take this sheep apart a little bit by bit and kind of find the meat and separate it and put it over on this tray. And pretty soon I'm covered in sheep sauce. Like I'm up to my elbows in this sheep and everybody's standing around and everybody's kind of panting like, and they're, of course we're hippies, right? So there are dogs all around, but they're well-trained dogs. So they're all kind of like attentive, standing there like, and there's like, we have a keg, I guess, and people start showing up and I'm in this sheep and I'm pulling it apart. And pretty soon I'm like taking big handfuls of it and eating while I'm pulling the sheep apart, and other people kind of join in. Pretty soon everybody's up to their elbows in this sheep, and we're all covered with grease. And it was the most bacchanalian experience of my whole life. So pretty soon we're this thing that we were extremely timid about approaching at first, we're just all diving into this thing. And by the end of it, by the end of the evening, there was not a bit of that sheep left. The dogs had eaten all the bones, completely eaten them. We had devoured. People were licking the trays. Like, and we all
this
had.
But this is hippies.
We all had raging boners. Like, it was bonkers. I still think about that time. Whenever I need a boost of confidence, whenever I've like got my tie on and I'm downtown and I'm about to go see some magistrate about some trumped up charges that they've got to try and keep me down so that my wisdom isn't spread.
Yeah.
As I'm about to walk into the magistrate's office, I think, right. I was once in a sheep. I know what it's like. I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
Ah!
If you can devour a goat, you can beat that rat.
See what I'm saying? And that's an experience I don't think a lot of people have. But what I realized later was I had a proto experience with a meatball sandwich in a bathtub. Like, I understood that sense of being, I understood that feeling of being covered in sauce. It's very important.
Initially, you were a little timid.
I approached that meatball sandwich.
And you said give me something to poke at it.
Because most people sit down at a table and they're like, I have to eat this meatball sandwich without getting dirty.
Oh,
but that is wrong.
No, that sandwich starts with shame and fear. That sandwich starts. Think about this, John. Dirt. Can I ask you this? You take a live animal and throw it in a hot pot. It makes a little screaming noise, which is actually the flesh tearing away from the bone, or tearing away from the shell.
No, you're talking about a sea animal.
I'm talking about a sea animal. It starts out black, ends up red.
You're not going to throw a live mammal in a pot.
One step at a time. Okay. And what do they do? In the vicious act of taking a live animal, the only way to have this animal be really tasty is to have the water super hot and the
you're
lobster.
About a crab or a lobster.
And the lobster be very, very alive. You throw a lobster into boiling water and cook it. And then somebody takes some butter from a cow and heats it up and puts it next to you. Somebody takes a fucking lobster that was alive a few minutes ago and puts it on your plate. And what's the first thing you do?
You put a napkin on.
Yeah, put on a plastic bib with a picture, a drawing of a lobster on it.
Yeah.
Right?
See, that's the point at which you are divorced from your animal nature. When that you put on that bib.
That's a meal that begins with an apology. In your case, you're saying...
You're absolutely right. The lobster experience should be, they put that lobster in front of you, and you take off your fucking shirt. That's what that should be. You should take off your shirt and draw a lobster on your chest.
No. Take the lobster's wife that's still alive. Attach it to your head with a rubber band. So it's almost like...
So it can see.
Oh, no, 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 it's got to see. You cut off its lobster eyelids and ate them with her husband. Sits there. Maybe you take the baby lobsters and like gaffer tape it to the top of the mom. Here you go, kids. Bleach your seats. And then you fucking dig in till you're covered with lobster sauce.
Lobster sauce.
I think that's a ping pong thing.
It was a long time before. I was extremely picky when I was a kid. The pickiest of all picky eaters.
Right.
I only ate 4 menu items: macaroni and cheese, boil in a bag, Salisbury steaks.
Oh, like Stouffer's?
Stouffer's.
Those were good.
Boil in a bag, Salisbury steaks. I would eat pizza and I would eat spaghetti if you put the spaghetti sauce in the blender and blended all visible lumps out of it.
How often would your mother capitulate to these requests?
Well, the thing is she
was busy. She had a career.
She was busy, and so what she ended up doing was she would make spaghetti sauce with just like drizzle tomato sauce. She wouldn't put anything in it.
Okay.
And the problem was that I was extremely stubborn. Like it wasn't a question of I would sit and did multiple times sit at a table in front of a cup of cold peas and sit there until it was time to go to bed, and you know, and they would sit me in front of the cup of cold peas at for breakfast, and I wouldn't eat, and they would sit me at the cup of cold peas at lunch and at dinner, and I just wouldn't eat, I wouldn't eat until continuing to not feed me would constitute child abuse.
Wow.
And they just, and it wasn't that I would, you know, I wasn't crying. I was just sitting quietly staring over the top of the cup of cold peas. Uncommunicative.
You're like the John McCain of convenience vegetables. Let me put a little bit of sriracha on this rice.
And so as time went on, this little depression, this bed I made for myself in the sand, turned into kind of a cement gravy boat of suffering, where I lay, I kind of like a kind of like
a cement gravy boat. Kind of suffering?
Like
Well, you just made my next hour a lot easier.
Kind of like a curved... Kind of like a curved
stop
autopsy
there.
Table.
You're not going to get any better. Just stop there.
That's not a Cocoa Pebble.
It's like chunks of sugar, and it's like gravy train. Remember that for dogs? We pour hot water on it. It makes gravy for your dog.
It's the chocolate milk soup.
Yeah.
But Cocoa Pebbles, first of all, it had... on the box was Bam Bam Flintstones.
Love Bam Bam.
But it was just basically a puffed rice soaked in chocolate until it could hold no more chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! Now that I'm talking about it, you know they don't make it anymore. I never see it.
Are you kidding me?
What? They have eternal reward in heaven to look forward to, whereas the rest of us who are going to spend eternity in torment, the only fun that we get is here on earth. You know, finger banging each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Christians are in here also like sopping up all the gravy with their buns, that it's all that much less gravy for me and the rest of the secular humanists who are doomed to eternity in the pit of fire.
I'll tell you, John Ryan,
he had roux,
and I don't
when you first said roux,
Louisiana
sauce,
and that's got flour in it,
or roux. The little
Louisiana sauce. My new stripper name is going to be Louisiana
sauce. Roo the baby kangaroo in Winnie the Pooh.
Oh,
or Roo, short for roofie, a Rohypnol date rape drug.
I think you're having a stroke. All right, here's the
thing.
It would
be the first one I had today. There's a shelf with 24 kinds of mustard, and I asked the little housefrau to come over and talk to me about the mustard. And she walked over and she was like, you know, she kind of tapped on one that was mustard that had been packaged in a little beer stein. And she's like, that's the hot stuff. And I was like, sold. And then she, you know, hit another one and she was like, that stuff's really good too. And I grabbed that and I was, you know, loading up on mustard while I was there. Pretty hot.
Oh, I think it's fantastic.
And the last, and every bite was better than the last.
You know, it'd be good, a little bit of hot mustard on that.
Oh, now that you say it, I have some hot mustard. I bought some of that great German hot mustard.
Or some horseradish. Have you been back to I don't want to derail you. Have you been back to your German Landjäger shoppy?
No, because I'm so busy that
they say, can you believe that Americans put avocado in their sushi?
What's the word? Gaijin? No, what's the word?
Gaijin. Yeah, that's right, gaijin.
Gaijin be eating like this.
Well, sure. There's a great sushi place in my neighborhood that everybody loves because everything you order is like smothered in special sauce from like the kind from a Big Mac and has like chunks of things that you would normally never find in sushi. Like, I think there's some ground beef and stuff. It's just... It's all mayoed up, and I'm pretty certain I've been to Japan one time, and nothing that I saw there had mayo in it.
But Adam, to your point regarding mayonnaise, mayonnaise is actually quite a popular condiment in Japan.
Oh, really? On sushi, though?
I guess not on sushi. No, you'll see the occasional sort of the occasional use of mayonnaise on sushi. Mayonnaise is very popular on pizza.
What?
Yeah, yeah. The one of the most popular pizza combinations is a tuna corn mayonnaise, or in Japanese, tuna corn mayonnaise.
Oh, Japanese is easy.
Yeah, you just say it in that funny voice.
Well, you know, the first time I ever had hollandaise sauce, this is the thing, back in the 70s, the only time I saw hollandaise sauce, it was on steak.
Yeah.
It's only one of those little
metal pouring things.
Yeah. It's only recently that you see that the only place you see hollandaise sauce is on English muffins and eggs.
You're saying the ecosystem is getting narrow around hollandaise. I used to put it on the asparagus. Asparagus used to have hollandaise sauce.
Right. I think people are starting to lose some of the traditional usages of hollandaise sauce.
That's a shame. Well, here's the thing.
It can power your lawnmower.
Is that right? It's a renewable resource. And now, is it actually from Dutch? Is it Holland? Is it Holland? I mean, I'm guessing it's some kind of a Dutch pun.
Hollandaise.
That sounds Cajun.
Well,
he's like a Cajun farmer.
It's a Cajun man describing where he got his sauce. Where'd you get that sauce? Hollandaise. But what is in hollandaise sauce? It's just eggs and mayonnaise and whipped cream and pepper. And
I've made my own.
Yeah, so I mean that's perfectly possible that
it's got, as I've, you know, Dutch. Memory serves, it's been a long time since I made hollandaise. I'm married now, right? So when I
are you saying that making hollandaise is something bachelors do?
Well, I mean,
I'm married now, so I don't get into that hollandaise.
I was
shit,
hoping like, somehow there might be a new euphemism that arose from that, but now I think we hit it too hard. But I know it's eggs. It's for sure eggs, right?
Yeah,
I guess it's an oil, and it's got lemon, and I think it's got tarragon. Sure thing. Boney.
Ripping her panty.
Be right over, Boney.
Ripping her pantyhose.
Oh, man.
Are you going out with Joe? Oh, I am. Her name's Josephine.
Be careful for the stress boomp.
She wants to be called Josephine. She's Hollandaise.
I bet he's given her more than a few tablespoons of hollandaise.
Mm-hmm. Some of that light rain, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, that's what you're called. Okay.
So I'm up there, we're playing, and then I get hit by guacamole. And I'm like...
Like a snowball,
well, like
of guacamole?
Like a little cup,
I don't know, it was
cup
a dollop.
Of guacamole.
It was a large dollop of guacamole. Hits me square in the chest, and I'm like, come on, who throws guacamole? Seriously, guys. And then I look over and like, because it was kind of where the outside cafeteria was, and there was just a group of kids that were just kind of, it was a random... Random. It wasn't like a directed at me, so I told myself, and so my therapist told myself. But yeah, I was hit by guacamole, and that totally crushed my Battle of the Bands day.
That's a spirit killer.
Yeah.
Guacamole symbolically, guacamole in a coat of arms represents disappointment and the loss of dreams. So if you ever do see guacamole either in your dreams or in a coat of arms, it means that somebody or some animal was disappointed.
I thought that was like a harbinger. Like I thought when you got hit by guacamole, I thought the green meant there was going to be money, good fortune coming.
Well, that didn't.
Maybe that's the Celtic version, and I'm talking about the Germanic version.
Ah, see, exactly. Yeah. No, I would not enjoy that at all. I've never been hit by a condiment that I can remember. But teenagers can be cruel. You know, you got to make your bones. And sometimes you're just going to have to, you know, hit somebody with a little bit of salsa.
It was like wet salt with artichokes.
I bet that's not as good as it sounds.
It was pretty good. Mm. But, you know, typically the artichoke is a much maligned vegetable.
Is that right?
Well, much maligned by my imagination, because I hardly ever order an artichoke thing. And partly it is because so much of the artichoke is inedible, and I don't understand how nature could have produced a grenade-shaped fruit
that is full of corn chips that you can't eat, but that are covered with guacamole, like bitter guacamole. That's what it is. It's like a corn chip grenade. If the corn chips were made out of leaves,
pointy leaves,
and
that
then,
you don't eat so much as scrape.
Right, a preloaded with a kind of like veiny guacamole.
Oh, dear. Get out of my dreams.
So I don't. But then when I have an artichoke thing, I enjoy it.
I think it's at the low end of the butter conveyance spectrum.
Oh, I see. It's a butter device, right?
You can do things with it. You can make dips and things like that. But no, there's a lot of scraping, and then you got a bunch of leaves you got to throw away.
Scraping, and then a bunch of, yeah, right. You got a pile of detritus. Loaf of bread, quart of milk, stick of butter.
Stick of butter.
Loaf of bread, quart of milk, stick of butter.
Marcia Dimes.
My new one is Adam, pass the goddamn butter. Lissigore.
What's that?
Is that a funk thing? What is that?
It's something that you learn when you're learning to when you're learning rhythm, like polyrhythms, and you're trying to play
paradiddles.
Trying to play three, four on one with one hand, and then 4/4 on the other hand, and it sounds like this. Pass the goddamn butter. Pass the goddamn butter. Pass the goddamn butter. That's what you learn, and it helps you through it right away. It's sticky.
Did you find, you know, that your butter consumption went up during that time?
I just wanted to pass goddamn things. I didn't care what they were. Anything with two syllables, I wanted to pass that goddamn thing.
I think anything that you repeat to yourself is going to sink in. So maybe, you know, maybe just what made you want to dine out more.
That's right. And some au jus I'm going to want to have. And a new one that I don't know if you've gotten into. You ever had maitre d' butter?
It's not what it sounds like.
What?
Well, if you ever go to a steakhouse.
I feel like I've given some people maitre d' butter.
Boy, I'll tell you, those walks could be very long and warm. But you can make it at home. You get a couple sticks of butter, put in three teaspoons of fresh lemon juice, a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper. And then you let it congeal. I put it in like a Ziploc bag so they can squeeze it out like a pastry thing. And you put that on a steak, brother. You have never had anything like it. Now, to me, that would be part of the gravy fountain.
Oh, I see. Put it on a steak.
Put it on a steak. It's good for everything. It's like extra salty butter with lemon in it. And boy, is it ever good. So to me, still, I continue to say if I ever become successful, it's not looking great right now. But if it ever does happen, gravy.
Never know, Merlin. Never know. Life is long, although not very long.
Well, I don't do yoga. And if I did, I'd do it like a gentleman with some
things. In short-term encounters, right? A lot of people keep their short-term encounters so greased with, you know, with seven layers of hot butter just because they want to get out of there.
A lot of it's status butter.
If there's a lot of status butter, they just want to, they want to get out of there with their, with like their feeling, their dignity intact or what little dignity they have intact.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not ever willing to, certainly not willing to engage a stranger in a discussion about what's behind the curtain. And so that's where you get all that. That's where there's just tracks of hot butter everywhere we go in the city.
Yeah.
Because people are just slathered with like what they consider to be social lubricant.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means is that no one is saying anything and they're just trying to get home so that they can masturbate in front of the TV.
God bless you. But that's misplaced butter.
It's a lot of wasted butter, and you and I will, and I've seen it. I've seen you do it a million times, and I do it also every day. We will stop what we are doing in the middle of a casual encounter, and we will say something about what is really happening in that moment. And you smell the asbestos burning as these people try and change gears. And you see the looks of like electroshock on their face
because they just slid their own status butter
because their butter is useless in this instance. You know,
you're literally hitting them with their own butter.
Their butter has encountered a spinning saw blade, and you and I aren't trying to do anything except say what's happening. Like, okay, you're here, I'm here. Here's what's happening.
Well, yeah, but there's like two important parts to that apart from the societal assistance, which is that, you know, there is something else going on here and you're not winning at this. And now,
oh God,
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. Okay.
I'm going to throw up.
I'm sorry. It's Friday. And Friday's macaroni and cheese day at the Hofbräu. I literally just sprinted home with a pound of meat and a pint of macaroni and cheese. And I just ate the entire thing with a liter of seltzer.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's like a bechamel. It's a very rich sauce. Mm. Oh, God. It's not going to get in the way.
rhubarb.
Entirely unacceptable.
Like you say, though, Adam, like everything's got a sauce.